from downtown San Francisco. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. Here are your hosts, Joe, Lo, and Dibs.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Joe, Lo, and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Pump up the volume.
It's time to play ball.
It's time to play ball.
I'm trying to upstage him
and he got me. You got me.
No, I like what you did there.
I did too.
Because yesterday he chose to really not do a lot of singing.
Mailed it in.
Lazy. It was Monday. You know, anyone else who decides to step up, you got to give him credit. You got to give him credit for stepping up.
Yeah, but
you tried to jump on those coattails.
Yeah, but what about you going to the House of Prime Rib and then tell me about that?
Friday night, you're back in Fresno, Coach.
You could have told me about the new Prime Rib, all the things that you're doing. What's happened to me? You and I used to go there together. Dibs, we had a candlelight dinner together.
My birthday dinner, me, my wife, and you sounds like the perfect situation. Now, I still owe you a couple dinners, and I'm happy to take you there for the seared prime rib. It was delicious. Anytime you'd want, you just let me know. The offer's on the table,
okay,
Coach.
Thank you.
There you go. Anytime. You just name it. Dibs, the offer would be open to you as well, but I'm sorry, Coach. You don't need prime rib.
And I appreciate that. I actually do sear the steak, though. I actually cooked some seared steak last night for my boys. So
that's nice.
I like that cooking technique. Cook it a little bit on each side, and then I slice it all up and then just give it a quick sear.
That place brings the prime rib out, right?
Yeah.
They do everything right there.
Right.
Leave it to Damon Bruce to require them to send it back in to the kitchen to do one additional step to bring it out. It was his recommendation. It was fantastic, but you can totally see. Take that prime rib, send it back in there, sear it, and bring it back out.
That's how you got to do it.
NFL reporter for the NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. Michael Silver joining Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Michael, good morning and thank you for your time. This morning we were kicking around a conversation regarding Hard Knocks and the possibility that the 49ers end up on it next summer. Still a long way to go there, but in all the years you've been covering the league, I'm sure you've probably talked to some teams and players who have appeared on Hard Knocks. What's the general consensus? Do teams enjoy the experience or do they try to stay away from it?
Most coaches don't want to do it, and I think a lot of players are probably indifferent. You know, it tends to have a little bit more of a stigma than I think it deserves. There have been a lot of people who I think through Hard Knocks have, you know, kind of become these breakout stars, like Mike Zimmer back in the Cowboy Hard Knocks days. You know, those of us inside the football world kind of knew his unique crusty charm, but I thought that translated well. So, you know, I think of all the things to worry about, you know, what's this going to do to our team? How's our team going to be affected? That would rank very, very low on my list.
Hard Knocks or not, are we seeing Jimmy Garoppolo become a legitimate nationwide NFL superstar?
I don't know about nationwide, but the Bay Area is pretty awesome. And, you know, we'll see. They're it's been three games and it's looked good. And, I guess I was a little confused on Twitter. I covered the Seahawks-Rams game, which was pretty consequential in my eyes. I wrote about the impending dismantling of the Seahawks as we know them, which is a pretty dramatic thing. Obviously, the Rams are an incredible story, and I was getting a lot of, what about Jimmy G tweets? I mean, it's cool. It could be really cool. I don't think the nation is super focused on a 4-10 team right now.
It's amazing, though, Michael. You've been around. You've seen this deal. A couple wins. Everyone wants to say that they would be in the Super Bowl if they had Jimmy G earlier. I mean, but you look at it and you look at this team. They need some offensive linemen. They need receivers. They need the cornerbacks, more interior linemen. So this team doesn't have necessarily a lot. They have some guys. But what are you looking for this week? Do you look at the Tennessee Titans, a team that was headed for the playoffs? Check. Jimmy G was able to beat that team. Now you're getting ready to play a team that one of the best defenses in the league in Jacksonville. And then the Rams, what they've been able to do. What do you want to see from Jimmy G and this Niner team, this resurgence of Jimmy G and this Niner team against these two formidable opponents, playoff teams?
Well, first of all, I'm going to see him in person, so I'm excited about that, mostly because I want to check out the Jags, who are going to the playoffs, but that would be a big win. You know, the Jaguars went into Pittsburgh and pounded them. They've had some pretty impressive wins. They just beat the Seahawks, who are obviously struggling with some injuries, but, you know, the Jaguars, I think as we've known them this last decade or so, are not these Jaguars. And honestly, when I think about teams that could theoretically go into Foxborough and shock them. I know it's not likely. We're talking about Tom Brady versus Blake Bortles. I mean, although Blake is playing well, but that defense is scary. And in one given game, I could see them rising up and making it very, very difficult. So yeah, if Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners can win that game with a Jags team that has clinched a playoff berth but is still chasing seeding, that would be a big, big deal. Obviously, the same with the Rams. We don't know. I would expect the Rams would have clinched the NFC West by the time they play the 49ers. And I also think, since they've lost to the Eagles and Vikings, it's unlikely that they're going to do any better in the third seed. So they may be locked in. But as long as the Rams are really playing, that would be a big win, too.
Michael Silver with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Black Monday is fast approaching. There's a lot of speculation that maybe 8-9 NFL coaching vacancies could become available once teams have their say at the end of the season. How many guys would you put on the hot seat at the moment? How many head coaching openings could we be looking at here?
Well, it's a fluid situation. It could even be more. Some who I thought were maybe in trouble, like Vance Joseph, I now believe are going to be safe. Hugh Jackson looks like he's going to stay in Cleveland unless the Bengals make a big move and try to get him to replace Marvin Lewis. But there's always a surprise, and I kind of broached this in my column that's up on NFL.com right now off the Seattle Rams game. And this is the scenario I laid out. Seahawks could be looking potentially at a team that does not include next year Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill. And that would look like a very, very different team where they wouldn't be calling it a rebuild, but a transition where you're building around Russell Wilson on offense and Bobby Wagner on defense.
Legion of Gloom.
Yeah, right.
You can use that one.
I might steal that, but now it's on tape, so it's like it's too traceable. But
that's okay. It really doesn't matter to me. I throw enough garbage out there. Something's got to stick at some point, Michael.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're looking at that, and you're Pete Carroll, you're 66, the oldest coach in the league. You've made $8 billion, and do you really want to stick around for what's basically a rebuild? I don't know that Pete wouldn't. I just know that it's worth pondering in that scenario. So, I think there are going to be a lot of firings. And, I think there's some that are being speculated about that we just don't know. You're starting to hear Oakland speculated about, for example. Washington is being speculated about, Detroit. So, it's going to be a very, very interesting next couple of weeks. And by the way, I'll be on TV every, for like 15 hours on Black Monday if all goes well. So you'll be sick of hearing me talk about it.
I'm excited about that, Michael. Why has it got to be black? Is there anything wrong with black?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I was always concerned about Black Monday, Black Friday.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's never like, black, like, why can't after you win the Super Bowl be Black Monday?
Thank you, Michael.
Exactly.
Thank you, Michael. At least you feel it. You're man of the people, brother. You're very diverse. That's why I love you.
There you go.
Let's talk about a team that wears that silver and black. You mentioned Jack, and is he back, and all the different things that's going on? Because this is a national. This is just not local. This is national. Here's a team that's underachieved. If they lose these next two games, could we see a Raiders organization going another direction?
I mean, I don't think so, but I there is some chatter out there. I hope in the end, if Jack does lose his job, it can't be traced to losing to the Cowboys, because then literally a folded index card will be the margin of this man's employment, and that's ridiculous. I don't know how many people saw that fiasco, but it kind of reinforces my larger point that these games and careers and legacies are sometimes decided by inches, very, very narrow margins. So, I think for one thing, Mark Davis and John Gruden have a very strong relationship. If John Gruden is in fact in play, which there's a lot of chatter out there that way too, both the Bucks and the Raiders would kind of be natural targets. I do believe the Bucks will make a change either way. The Raiders, I'm not so sure, but the Raiders technically, I believe, are still in the playoff hunt. So hopefully they're going to do everything they can to win these last two.
It'd be wildly out of character to see him buy 3 years of Del Rio and then bring in John Gruden at maybe $10 million a year. But it'll be interesting to see if they are a part of that.
He just got $850 million you know, thrown his way by the great state of Nevada. So I would agree with you, but, you know, it would certainly make a splash.
Well, that price tag could be going up by some 90 to 100 million if this, this budget plan goes the way it appears to be going. So that.
Oh, don't worry. The taxpayers will just foot that bill in Nevada. They got nothing else to do.
Yeah, you're right. Michael Silver here on 95.7 The Game. You talked about legacy.
Can you tell I'm bitter about Nevada and Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Blackjack is booming.
Yeah.
And the penny slots continue to rake it in.
Blackjack. Enough bitterness to go around on that one, Michael. So we'll turn our attention to.
Yeah, does the game reach to Nevada? Because if there's anyone listening who lives in Nevada, it is true. I have less respect for your state than I do for California.
Yes, catch us online, 957thegame.com. The Mike Silver State. Yeah, exactly.
Mike, it's named after you. Or you're named after it. I'm not sure which came first.
Why
do I
have to be black and silver?
Same.
Exactly. Everything's black and silver these days.
So the Packers, Gibbs. Mike, if I may, Michael, the Packers, the Green Bay Packers, are they really going to play damaged goods today with such a diminished chance of doing anything?
I don't know. You know, I was kind of into the dream, and when they got that onside kick and had a chance at the end, I thought, wow, Aaron's going to find a way. But then Geronimo Allison fumbled and the dream died. So, you know, I certainly from a franchise investment standpoint, you say, why would you put him out there? But football players play, and Lo knows this. They're wired differently. It's
sure.
What they do. They're competitive, and I guarantee Aaron is not going to calmly just be like, yeah, okay, I'll just chill these last two. So it'll be an interesting push and pull. Obviously, if they play him in what are you know, meaningless games in terms of the playoffs, and he re-injures it, it's going to be a real bummer for everyone concerned.
Michael, we actually got a better one from the text line. If the Legion of Boom loses all those players next year, not Legion of Gloom, but Legion of Whom?
Okay, I really might steal that one. So.
That's from the 925 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. You go ahead and you help yourself.
Tremendous. Legion of Whom? Not who.
Boom. Very well done.
At Michael Silver on Twitter, NFL reporter for the NFL Network, Michael Silver with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for your time, Michael. Have a great holiday season. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right, right back at you. Thanks a lot.
Woo! Lot to dissect there. Number one, he thinks Denver and Cleveland are safe head coaching situations. Vance Joseph and Hugh Jackson.
Wow.
Hugh doesn't necessarily surprise me. I'm kind of surprised that Elway wants to bring Vance Joseph back. He was a disaster this year.
If he goes one for one, though, Joe, that's a little bit. I think Elway's hitched his wagon to this, and his name has got to be on this. So it'd be kind of hard for him to after 1 year. I know we're talking about Jack, but it'd be kind of 1 year, kind of the same thing. I know it's Jack's extension, but it's a 1 year deal. This is only 1 year of that contract, so it's just interesting to see what's going on in the National Football League. And I think that right now Elway's not as safe as he thinks he is there, even in Denver.
Hugh doesn't necessarily surprise me. I could see them giving him another year just because of the way in which they've gone about this process. Right. So I can kind of get that. But the Vance Joseph one, I thought he was a goner for sure.
But you look at it just 1 year, right? And five and nine. And how much of that is really on him? Because unless he's in there beating down the door of, we have got to bring Brock Osweiler back. I mean, we just have to do that.
You're right. It's front office. You're absolutely right.
And they've played all three of these bums at quarterback.
Musical chairs.
And none of them's worked out. And now it looks like they're going to go to Paxton Lynch for the last 2 weeks to, quote, see what you got. Spoiler alert. You don't have anything, and so he's going to lose those last two. You're going to wind up 5-11, and how much of this is on the head coach? I think he will survive.
I think they're doing this intentional because we saw, I know we don't like him, but freaking Brock played well last week, so why would you not ride with the hot hand? You don't want to win.
God, coach.
I know.
Look, what you've got in Paxton Lynch. At some point, you have to.
He cried,
you know what
Joe.
You have in Osweiler.
He acted like he tore his Achilles. He didn't want to play. They took him out of the game. They carried him to the side. He's crying.
Well, then if they've already seen what they have in him, I understand. If they know that it's a lost cause there, that's fine. For me, that's a very small sample size. He hasn't played much. But if they realize he's never going to get it done, I'll commend them. I'll commend them for realizing their problem and addressing their mistake a lot quicker than most teams would.
Joe, if the guy throws for 300 yards back-to-back, you're going to keep him as your starter next year? Would you go into next year saying, this is my starter?
If I had a guy who threw for 300 yards back-to-back.
This guy, the kid we're talking about, that they're going to play in the next 2 weeks,
Are you talking about Paxton Lynch?
Yes. And you're the GM now, and you get in these next 2 weeks against the Skins in the last game, and he throws for 300. Let's just say 300 yards both games. Are you going in? Are you going to not do anything in offseason? So you're going to be happy as a GM or head coach with this guy, what you see?
Well, no. If he shows flashes, this is what, his second NFL season. I don't know how many games he's appeared in. If he looked really good in the last two games, I would have to address the quarterback position somehow, but I don't know if that means I'd spend a draft pick on it.
Okay.
This one caught me off guard. Yeah. It's an interesting situation.
Right.
The way I see it is this. They got no quarterbacks, right? You got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks. You got three quarterbacks, you're a train wreck. Osweiler, we know, can't play. Simeon is a nice story and perhaps
backup.
A serviceable two. He's a smart kid, works hard by all accounts, does everything you want him to do. He might be the type of guy that can last for 10 years as a backup. Maybe step in and spot starts, give you a little bit of a rally. Lynch, I haven't seen enough of. I don't think he's any good. Coming out of Memphis, he didn't face a lot of great competition. It doesn't appear as if the individual can grasp the playbook. I would be looking for a new quarterback, and I'd be looking as soon as possible because you only have a few more prime years of Von Miller left.
There you go.
And I don't know what the rest of those contracts look like at wide receiver and elsewhere, but you got Von Miller for a few more years in his prime, and I don't know if you necessarily want to jeopardize one of the great pass rushers of this current era. Although, again, they did already get themselves a Super Bowl, and there are a lot of fan bases out there that would take that.
And right now, Denver's in a situation where if they lose out, they lose these last two, they could dramatically jump up the board. Right now, they're going to pick eighth with the way everything sits, but you've got four teams with four wins. The Niners look like a team that's going to get to their fifth victory. You've got Houston, Chicago, Tampa. There's other teams that could jump ahead of you. So if you wind up in the top five in the draft, then you can rightfully address your quarterback position right away.
I want to get into what Michael Silver said about the Seattle Seahawks, because we've been preaching this.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the window for the Niners. People have said this show is crazy, and yet the evidence continues to mount in our favor. But first, this guy with the Jim Harbaugh Pebble Beach story, is he still online? Yeah. Okay. Kenny in Milpitas has a story about Jim Harbaugh and Pebble Beach. Kenny, thanks for calling the program, man. Lay it on us.
Oh, thank you. So 5 days after Super Bowl, they lose. Jim Harbaugh's at the Pebble Beach program participating. My father and I are attending. He's going from green to tee, I believe, from 14 to 15. Everyone's in line to shake his hand. I'm like second person next. He shakes guy's hand to my left, got my hand out, goes right by me, puts his hand down, puts his hand back up, shakes my dad's hand. So right away, I'm just like, are you kidding me? And I look up at him, I'm like,
are you kidding me?
I'm like, who's got it better than us? He looks right up at me. He sees me. He's about to say nobody. I'm like, the Ravens. And everyone is just, well, oh, you're so pathetic. And I'm just like, that's right. That's right. I don't care. I'm a Raider. It don't matter.
Well, he stiffed you. He didn't shake your hand.
Exactly. It was the worst. But thanks for letting me be on, guys. I appreciate Dibley. I've been listening to you since you've been on Radnit Show. Lo, you the man, Joe. You have a happy holidays, man. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Kenny.
Why don't I get a compliment? I just get to have a happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
What about the you're really good at what you do, and happy holidays.
Joe, I got you an egg for your shoe for Christmas.
Go ahead and eat it.
Kenny, call anytime. That was a great call.
That wasn't funny, Dibs. Don't do that, Joe. You're all right.
It's a good call. It's a good call.
I tried to turn the code on you, Dibs.
Nice try, Benedict. I see you over there.
He didn't go for it.
What do you think? Do you think that's a situation where Harbaugh missed him by accident, or do you think it was intentional?
As accident. It wasn't intentional. I don't know.
This guy seemed pretty steamed.
Yeah, he was steamed. That's a great story, though. And who's got it better? Harbaugh got said, no.
I like how he's not. He hasn't really held on to that over the years, though. I like that, how he's been able to let that go.
How we've literally never once talked to him. We haven't mentioned Harbaugh or much of anything today outside of Pebble Beach, which we did. So I guess we did open the door for that one.
Tremendous. It's great stuff.
Oh, please give me a break.
That's another bet I made. People thought I was nuts. I said the Niners would be back in the playoffs before Harbaugh won a national championship in Michigan. I said that well over a year ago.
Yep.
Everyone said I was completely out of control with that. And then look at where we are now. Niners trending up. Michigan, it's going to be very tough to win a national title at Michigan. You gotta get past Penn State, Ohio State, and that's just in the conference.
In the division.
Yeah, on your division.
Well, I think that 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 bet wasn't that hard. Now, if you had said,
no,
just make it to the Final Four.
Because you laughed at it when I said it originally. You said you were taking Michigan, and now suddenly you have turned.
They should. You should say, make it in the Final Four in the playoffs.
Back then, this was with Chip Kelly and Tom Sula. This was when the whole thing was a joke. That's why it was out on a limb.
Yeah.
Now it looks good, and everyone, oh, well, you know, you should cut Michigan some slack.
Oh,
no.
Tom, you're Sula.
I just invested at the right time. Buying Niner stock now is what you want to be doing. You want to be buying Niner stock because it's trending up. It's not that confusing. Get in before the market tops out. Like, we talk about this Bitcoin, right? So a buddy of mine said it perfectly. I was talking to him in Vegas. We were doing this podcast. I'm like, Dave, I go, what are you doing with Bitcoin? Are you in on this? And he goes, I thought about it. And he goes, when every idiot in my life is coming up to me talking to me about Bitcoin, I realize the ship has probably sailed. And I thought that was pretty solid logic. When every moron comes up to you and is like, get on Bitcoin, you got to get on Bitcoin. Is it really that smart of a move if everybody's on it?
Joe, no, because it's not even close to selling yet. Because once the banks and stuff getting involved, this thing is going to go up even way more. Trust me, it's far from being over. Trust me, far from being over. Far.
It's a pass.
Mr. Pro Bowl cryptocurrency over here.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you guys. I guarantee it doubles still.
Do you see my point, though? I'm not necessarily saying that he's right. It's just the point is when everybody on Earth is saying it's a great idea, we've probably you know.
So when you say you guarantee it, if I was to put in 10 stacks of High Society, would you guarantee that? So if I lost my 10 grand, that you would give me 10 grand back?
Because that's what a guarantee is.
First of all, 10 stacks of High Society is 100 grand.
Oh, never mind then.
Thank you, Joe.
One stack of High Society is 10 grand.
Obviously, I don't live in High Society because I don't know how many stacks or how many things.
Now, so you're talking about one stack of High Society.
Sure.
That's okay.
It's 10 grand.
A stack. You do the one stack and I'll take 50 of it, 50% after it makes the gains, I'll do it.
And you'll guarantee my loss is 100%?
Well, that's a pretty nice situation right there.
Now, but here's the thing.
It hurts my ROI a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's no risk. It's completely free. It's a perfect investment. You have zero risk.
I'll guarantee it. I'll sign it. We'll get it notarized. We're going to notary. I'll sign it. I'll guarantee
it. Got a notary here, Coach.
Yep,
did it the other day for Chelsea's birth certificate.
There we go.
Nine months late on that, by the way.
But I'm going to get 50% of all. I'm getting 50% of it.
Anna, this may be
who
awkward.
Who decides
but,
when you sell? That's an important question. Who decides to sell?
Me, because I'm following it more.
I don't know about that.
No, because I'm going to have to wait it out if I want to sell it. And he's like, no, Coach, we're going to ride this baby out.
He might slip it into the NDA so that if one of you dies, the other one gets all of it. And he might think he can outlive you.
It's going
to
be close.
So you're going to have to figure out who sells this first.
You think I would do something like that, me, a man of the cloth?
You literally said you wouldn't ask Papa a question to do a favor for an individual. It's just one question.
Because I don't enjoy going to ask people certain things. If it's for... You know, so that's just how I am in that situation. But I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Real noble.
Promise you. I promise you I will, Reggie. I will do it. I'll ask him today, Joe. And I'll let you guys know
now,
tomorrow.
Now, back to this Bitcoin investment. Who's the trigger man?
You know what? I'll talk to you about it. I would say dibs. I will explain why not. As long as you're able to listen and we can have a dialogue back and forth. And be grown about it and civil about it. I'm willing to listen to you.
I'm more fascinated by the who dies first argument, quite frankly. I've got about, well, whatever, Anna. Spoiler alert, that's how we all end, okay? That's the way it ends for all of us. So I'm thinking I'm about 5 years older than Lo. I think I'm coming on 50 and he's about to be 45.
Yeah, but Lo was very recently at 300 pounds.
Yeah, and he also spent 16 years in the NFL and a 17th year in a training camp. So his body's taken on a certain amount of punishment. But as has mine in other ways.
Right.
So.
In the pro-low argument, you just got up to about 10 push-ups.
Yeah, 15.
Which is nice.
15, Coach.
I'm drinking my Blackwater, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close.
From the 760, if Low Neil's telling me it's a good idea, I know it's over.
Just take. Why do you want to read that text? You know what, 760? Let me tell you something, 760. You come down here and me and you will talk. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this Bitcoin... It's got some legs. I'm telling you, once the banks get involved, I'm talking to guys that work for different institutions that are starting to make that transition and getting their people that are investing in mutuals and all that stuff to make that be diverse.
Someone says the University of Boston takes Bitcoin for tuition. That's also on the text line.
Hey,
I don't know how much validity there is in that. I'm just reading off anything at this point.
People are cashing out.
Ron Burgundy style.
This thing is going to... It has a lot of legs. It really does.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Yes,
you two
Dibs.
Are going in.
Yes.
You're personally guaranteeing Dibs' investment if you get 50% of the returns. The question comes down to who's the trigger man on when to sell?
I think if I'm going, if I'm taking the, if I have all the risk, I believe that I should be able, don't you?
Pretty fair assessment there.
Well, then I'm out. I'm out, coach. I'm out.
You can't. I didn't say about Bitcoin. I didn't say anything about.
I'm out. You talk about Bitcoin?
I think that's relatively fair because you're assuming all the risk, but there has to be a contingency plan in place. What if Dibs kicks the bucket? Are you taking all 100%?
No, I would give it to his family.
So you'll honor the original agreement.
No
Dibs'
question.
Share gets passed down.
Yes.
Additionally, if I'm investing this much money that I was hoping to borrow from you, Anna, I don't know if you got 10 grand on you, but
I'm just saying that Dibs, I'm going to sign in the end. We'll go there, you know, we're going to freaking go there, get it done.
You'll go down the hall, you'll get it notarized.
Yes.
Betty will wonder what the hell's wrong with you.
I'm telling you, bro, this is going to be changing.
I'm out.
Let me say something. let me tell you something. When you two, I don't see how this could possibly go wrong. I don't see anything that could possibly go wrong.
Thank you.
You don't see how this could go right, which is why you're encouraging it.
All the way around win. Everyone's winning.
For Joe to actually get in and chime in this. You know,
Joe is setting this up to be a tire fire. That's all he wants. All he wants is chaos around him.
He would come in every day. How's Bitcoin, Dibs?
Yeah, how's Dibs. Bitcoin? I saw Bitcoin took a bath last night. You gonna let the trigger man?
Look how happy
move?
He is. His favorite moment from the show today is when I blew up on a caller. He loved that.
And I'll
that
like,
was my favorite moment.
He loves
week.
Chaos.
And I'll say, Joe, just hang in there, Dibs. It's gonna come back. Don't worry, Dibs. It's gonna come back. So that's the question. If it goes down, you can't sell it right
away. Let me ask you something. What is it? What is it? Can I touch it? Can I hold it?
No, you can't.
Shocking that I can't. Shocking. I'm sorry, we're all out of time.
What do you hold your gold when you get it?
There is gold. I know that if I wanted to hold gold, I could. Where do I go to hold a Bitcoin? The Philippines?
You can get it. I can get it for you.
Okay. Tomorrow, I'd like to hold 5 Bitcoin, please. Bring in five individual
Bitcoin.
It's
too expensive. You
Brian Balding is up next. I don't know what to tell you.
Stop it, Joe! Stop it,
the
Joe!
Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
12-year NFL vet. Catch him now at Fox Sports and the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. It's Brian Baldinger with Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. Baldy, as always, we appreciate the time. Following you on Twitter the last few weeks, I see you've done a lot of tape study of Jimmy Garoppolo. Tell us, tell the audience what you've seen. Is this guy a legitimate franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know it's just three games and a couple passes the first game he came in, but, you know, the offense looks totally different. He's getting the ball to his wide receivers. Marquise Goodwin looks, I mean, nobody ever thought that he was the number one wide receiver, but he's looking like one right now. I mean, because he's the best they have, but I mean, everything. I mean, the play acts, the way he sees the field, the way he gets rid of the ball. I mean, if you watch him, if you really study him, I mean, he looks like he's the clone of Tony Romo. I mean, everything from his size to the school that he attended, to almost how he came into this league, and, you know, and then just his motion, the way he gets rid of the ball. He's got a very quick release. He's got a great arm. And, you know, the offense is moving, and he's brought him from behind a couple weeks now, and that comeback win against Tennessee was, you know, it was a great win for the 49ers. And he's being protected pretty well right now, but Kyle Shanahan all of a sudden looks like he could coach. And the big part is, you know, they're getting great quarterback play. And I believe that he is a franchise quarterback, and I think he's a great building block for the 49ers.
He had a chance to sit and wait and obviously watch one of the greatest of all time in Tom Brady. Do you think this will spur other organizations to maybe show a little bit more patience with their young quarterbacks and give them a season or two to just watch and learn before being thrown to the fire?
No. No, I mean, look, I mean, you look at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, two guys that have had that luxury here in the last 10 years have been Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo, and they played behind, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks that weren't ready to retire or stop playing at a high level. And so they had that luxury. But these teams, I don't care if you're Chicago and what they did this year with Trubisky, I mean, they're not being patient, and they're not going to be patient. You know, Deshaun Watson was rushed out there because he was a better option than Tom Savage. You know, maybe Paxton Lynch, but, you know, Paxton Lynch isn't really learning from a great player at this point. Plus, he's been injured. So, no, these teams are rushing these guys out there, and they're playing them because they think they're the best option, the best hope to win, and so they want to take a look at them. But, you know, Garoppolo, you know, when you watch him, you could see that even the way that he audibles and checks plays, you know, he's watched Tom Brady do it for a long time, and he kind of emulates the way that he does it quite a bit in some of his mannerisms. And you would only expect that, you know, from watching a guy and studying a guy that played at that level for that long.
Bully, when you take a look at Jimmy G and what he's been able to do, you look at playing a Tennessee Titan team, a team that controlled their own destiny, still was contending for a playoff spot. Check. He ended up beating those guys. And now you look at this week, a Jacksonville team that's looked like they're in the playoffs. And the Rams, what would you want to see? He's already checked the box there. Now he's playing a team that's probably number one, one of the top three or four defenses in the league. Then next week, a high-power scoring offense of the Rams and Wade Phillips and how he gets after you. What do you want to see from young Jimmy G these next two games?
I think the same thing that we've seen, Lo. You know, just continue, you know, to get the ball out of his hands, to read the defense, to give his receivers a chance, you know, to keep the offense moving. It's a good-looking offense, you know, when he's throwing the ball on rhythm and timing. And I just saw Jacksonville last week, you know, against Houston. They took him apart. They're legit. It's a great test because they're probably going to see the best front four they're going to see all year. Next week, they'll see the best defensive lineman in the league in Aaron Donald. So they're going to get tested with pressure right up the middle the next 2 weeks, and that's always the toughest assignment for any quarterback is when he gets, you know, a great player, Aaron Donald, Calais Campbell, what have you, when they get pressure right up the middle the way both those teams are capable of doing it. The good thing about Jacksonville this week when you watch them is they don't need to blitz. They rarely have to blitz in order to get after the quarterback. So they're going to get a front four rush that, you know, that can, any one of those four can win a one-on-one battle. And they're going to have, you know, seven guys back there, whether it's two deep zone or man-to-man or whatever they want to play, you know, trying to take away your best option. So it's a good test. It's a really good test. I mean, I think Tennessee is one test, but Jacksonville now is a whole different caliber of defense. They've got two lockdown corners. I don't know if they're locked down, but Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye are really, really good players. And so they're well coached. They got a lot of speed, and they play with a great deal of enthusiasm. So it's a good test for Jimmy G this weekend.
Brian Baldinger with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Baldy, I want to get your thoughts on what happened at the end of the Patriot-Steeler game with Jesse James, the tight end, in just a moment. But help me out with something here. How is it that, knowing what Rob Gronkowski's done to the rest of the NFL, knowing what Rob Gronkowski has done to you over the years, and knowing what Rob Gronkowski has done to you in that game, how do the Steelers just let him run free down the field over that final drive? Four passes from Brady, all yeah. went to Gronk, three of which were completed, and then he yeah. hits him on the two-point conversion.
Yeah. Well, the two-point conversion, you know, you just got him one-on-one against Sean Davis, and, you know, they cleared it out for him. It was just nothing, no different than, you know, Kevin Durant on a clear out. I mean, that's all it was. And when you do that, I mean, you're going to take Mike Mitchell out of the middle of the field to try and cloud it. It's just hard to do with that part of the field. Look, I mean, unless you get your hands on him and you're willing to really body him up and not let him get off the line of scrimmage, which most teams seem fearful to do, you don't really have much choice, you know, when he wants to ramble down the middle of the field like that. Some great throws, some good formation type things, but you know it's going to him. You know in crunch time it's going to him, and yet you can't stop it. It's a hallmark of, you know, a guy that's just a top 10 player in this league.
Brian Baldinger joining us here on 95.7 The Game. AFC West still a little bit muddled with Kansas City, the Chargers, and the Raiders, I guess, with a glimmer of hope. How do you think that gets resolved from a playoff standpoint?
Well, I would have said, you know, prior to last week that it would have been San Diego's, you know, division. But, you know, Kansas City the last 2 weeks now, they've gotten back to winning the line of scrimmage. You know, I mean, they played very well up front. Kareem Hunt had a huge game, you know, this past weekend. And that's really kind of where it starts on Saturday night, is watching Kansas City win the line of scrimmage. They, you know, it's nice when you can just, you know, drop back and throw it 60 yards to Tyreek Hill. But they weren't able to do that in the past weeks because they weren't really able to run the ball and really get, you know, a bunch of guys committed to stopping the run. And that's what Kansas City did. And when they play that style of football, when they get Kareem Hunt rolling the way he has the last 2 weeks, they're going to win that division. If you take that away from them, then I think it's still up for grabs. San Diego's coming shorthanded to the Jets this weekend, and they're going to be without some of their firepower up front. Their defense line is beginning to get decimated right now, but we'll see, you know, who dresses. But you know, right now it's Kansas City's division to lose.
12-year NFL veteran. Catch him now at Fox Sports and the NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Brian Baldinger with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Baldy, as always, we appreciate the time. Terrific insight. Have a great holiday season, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
You bet, man. Happy holidays to everybody. See you down the road, Lowe. Take care, guys.
See you, Baldy.
My man, take care, Baldy.
I love it how that's just the approach. Well, yeah, you send Mike Mitchell down there to cover him. I mean, Gronk, it's one-on-one. It's very tough.
What can you do?
I'll put a second guy down there. You don't need to account for Brady. He's not running. So why not double him? Is that an insane thing to think about?
So that's probably.
And I'm not criticizing Baldy, because this is clearly how it works. The Steelers, so what are you going to do? He's just running free down the middle of the field. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You might as well just let him go.
And to his point, Joe, it's what happens. You
what kind of coaching is that?
You go five wide. So think about it.
Oh, no.
When you go five wide.
That's it. If it's that easy, how come everyone's not going five wide?
Because you got to realize that everyone don't have Brady.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard to.
They're the luckiest guys in Las Vegas.
But why is Gronk able to do that to every single team? Because
double
when
them.
They spread him out.
Take his legs out. Do something. It's just Mike Mitchell one-on-one. Romo circles it. Oh, he's going here. Yeah, oh, you think, Tony?
Everyone knows it.
There's
why
nothing we could do.
I know he's going there.
You just can't stop it. You just got to give up the play. And
you don't
yeah,
give it up.
You know,
you
just
get
try to play for second place. Just hope somebody else knocks the Patriots out.
You two are wrong right now.
Unbelievable.
That's not how you guys got to look at this.
All right. We're going to talk a little. Let's talk a little Pebble Beach next. Yeah, Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
He is the tournament director for the AT&T Celebrity Pro-Am at Pebble Beach. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve John joining Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Steve, good morning and thank you for your time. I'd imagine it's got to be a real pain in the rear to have to walk around and work at Pebble Beach as much as you probably do. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking for a job right now. So if you hear anything out there, let me know, will you?
Yeah, we'll be sure to.
Better views. Have any better views?
I took the wife and my 10-month-old down there a couple months ago. It was his first time. We just had lunch overlooking the 18th. Fascinating. I mean, even in a 94-degree day, it's such a beautiful, tranquil view down there. Can't wait for the tournament as we're less than 2 months away. What's the field shaping up to look like from a celebrity and pro perspective so far?
It's looking pretty good. We had a great field last year, and this year is actually going to top it in both categories, pro and celebrity. The pro field, Rory McIlroy's coming, first time ever. Adam Scott's coming back after 8 years of staying away from Pebble. He's coming back. We're excited. Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Bubba, Jason Day. I mean, it just goes on and on. So they love coming to Pebble for, you know, many reasons, as you just expressed. The view is only one. And then celebrity, new to the celebrities this year, Dierks Bentley, gold record, music star, Chris Harrison, you know, host of Bachelor, Bachelorette. All the women love to talk to him, find out who's getting kicked out. And then Pat Monahan from Train, lead singer from Train. So three new good ones. And, you know, joining him, Carson Daly, last year's Pro-Am team winner. He's coming back. Mark Wahlberg, Josh Duhamel, Toby Keith, Chris O'Donnell, Kelly Rohrbach. She was a huge hit last year. Great player. It's always loved to have females that can play golf, get on the golf course. And so, yeah, both fields, both Pro-Am and celebrities are very solid this year.
You guys have done a great job of kind of bridging the gap generationally and getting some of the younger celebrities who play golf involved in the event. It's been good for people of all ages. What are some of the different ticket options that people can look forward to, whether it's the full weekly pass or some of the other upgraded options that are available?
Yeah, all tickets are on attpbgolf.com, attpbgolf.com. But some of the highlights, we have three great upgrade options for the spectators. People come on property and they want to know where they can't go. Hey, where can I go? What's a special place? So we've created three really great environments for them. One is the view presented by Grey Goose. It's overlooking the eighth hole at Pebble Beach, which is a gorgeous hole. Jack calls his favorite hole at Pebble. And then new this year, R.J. Harper, longtime vice president of Pebble Beach, passed away after a long, actually short battle, but 15-month battle with pancreatic cancer. And so we're gonna have a venue that we're gonna raise money and send all that money, whatever ticket sales from that venue, we're gonna match it 100% from the foundation and send it to R.J. in R.J.'s name to Stanford University Hospital and the Research Fund for R.J. So great venue that will be inside the lodge at Pebble Beach, just down from the tap room, which I'm sure most everybody's familiar with. And the last one is our marquee. It's Palmer's Club 18. It's right on the 18th hole at Pebble Beach, overlooking that gorgeous hole in the bay in Stillwater Cove, with an over-the-top food and wine experience, on-site parking, which is the golden ticket. So all three of those upgrades are available to purchase on our website, attpbgolf.com. And then our regular daily tickets there, regular and weekly, and tickets are all available there. So just, you know, plenty to choose from for Christmas stocking stuffers.
So juicy there. The on-site parking is awesome. And you'll be able to find me in the Grey Goose tent at 8. That's the only birdie I made in my only time around Pebble Beach. So I'll just be...
Well, you don't want to miss that. There's one new venue open. We're trying to do so much more for the public to make this a spectator experience beyond belief. And so we've partnered with Patron Tequila. And they've got a Patron Tequila bar right at the Triangle, which is at holes 6, 8, and 14, open to the public, 21 and older. But that should be very well attended, Club Patron. That'll be fun. Toby Keith has a Wild Shot bar. It's a mezcal. We're going to have that at the grand entrance with two simulators. So people can take a shot at Long Drive, close to the pin, and then win some stuff from Toby Keith, Wild Shot. Toby will probably stop by, sing a few songs. It's a pretty cool place. So. Good stuff for the spectators all around the property.
Steve, I well, never in an official capacity, I've partnered up with Tequila quite a bit in my past as well. It's a good relationship. You gotta respect the relationship, but it's a good relationship.
Yeah, you gotta respect it. That's very true.
Hey, Steve, it's an awesome event what you guys are doing. Tell us about some other charities that you guys are involved in and why you guys attach to those different charities.
You know, we really just focus on golf. We run the AT&T Pebble Beach Prime, and then we run the Pure Insurance Championship, which is in September, which pairs the Champions Tour players with juniors from the First Tee organization. And it's just a phenomenal event. There's a mentoring experience that takes place there where the pros mentor the juniors for the day one and day two, and then it just reverses, and the juniors start mentoring these pros. And it's magic. We've hosted that since the inception of 2004. Great event in late September, perfect weather. That's held at Pebble Beach and Poppy Hills Golf Course. So we really focus on those two, and all net proceeds from both, from the First Tee Pure Insurance Championship, go to the First Tee. AT&T goes into a pool, and we give that out to, last year, $12.8 million went to our local community,
Santa Cruz,
Monterey. It's impressive. It's really humbling to be involved in something like this that gives so much back to our communities, and it's such a great impact. And it's largely in part, I mean, it's a group that puts this on. The volunteers, 2,000 plus, are so critical to our success. And then, you know, our partners with Pebble Beach and CBS and Monterey Peninsula Country Club. So we work very closely together to make sure we deliver a great product to the spectators and audience, TV audience. So
sure.
We love what we do.
Steve, where can they go to pick up tickets for those interested in coming down, checking out the event?
attpbgolf.com.
Beautiful. We'll get that up on all our social media. And I'll tell you what, if you're looking for another celebrity for the tournament, Lorenzo Neal here in the office, he's shy, but he has recently been put on the semifinalist list for the NFL Hall of Fame. He'd love to come down and shred your poor course.
I love it. Well, we have a very, very long wait list, but we move people along. We really try to, you know, rotate it to keep it fresh for the spectators. You don't want to ever come out and feel like you've seen the same thing over and over again. So we feel like we've done a decent job with that. We don't make a lot of friends, unfortunately, but that's just life. It's all about raising money for the communities.
Absolutely. Steve John, Tournament Director for the AT&T Celebrity Pro-Am at Pebble Beach with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff, Steve. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for swinging by. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Thanks for giving me the time.
You're welcome, Steve. Take
Outstanding.
Care.
Outstanding.
Went ahead and just shut it, you right
it pretty
down.
Much said,
pretty
yeah.
much the best part of
it
my
pretty
day.
Much H-U and
H-U Lorenzo, B. who? No. Yeah. We have Dierks Bentley.
Yeah. Larry the Cable Guy, too. We can get you on the wait list.
Let me say something. I'm going to go over his head just for that. I'm going over his head.
Paul Rubens, probably also on the list guys, this year.
Maybe by 2030 we can get you in there.
I'm going to go over his head.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's only the tournament director. Yeah. I'm sure there's so many more steps you can go up. Obama's retired, Coach. Sorry.
Maybe I'll talk to his mom or his dad. His father.
I got you. There's always angles, right?
Yes, somewhere.
Yeah. Well, we'll be down there. Dibs and I will be down there probably having some cocktails walking around the course. You're happy to walk around with the commoners like us.
Seriously, that Grey Goose tent. And he talked about the Patron right there where 6, 8, and 14
I'm not going
meet.
Anywhere near that.
That's a great spot.
I'll fall into the ocean and drown. Let's not kid ourselves.
You've been kind of dry a little lately.
Yeah, I have. And yet I continue to gain weight. It's an amazing
Yeah,
anomaly.
When you stop the thing.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, that's all we have time for. I'm afraid.
That's it for us. Coming up next, it's going to be Steinmetz and Guru. John Dickinson will join him at 11 a.m. for Anna for Loafer Dibs. I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everybody. We're back tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.